We turn to sacred scripture this morning to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm 90. A psalm entitled, The Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Let's read the entire chapter. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth. Or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. I call your attention to our text this morning, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 90 is the one and only psalm of Moses. There are songs that Moses did write that we know from the Bible. Back in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15, that comes immediately after Exodus 14, which records for us the great deliverance that God wrought for the Israelites by parting the waves of the Red Sea, and they passed through on dry ground. And then when the Israelites saw those same waves come crashing down on Pharaoh and his host. And then Exodus 15 is the song of Moses that he sang in response to that great deliverance. And then we have also the wonderful blessings that Moses pronounces upon the 12 tribes in Deuteronomy chapter 33. But here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, this is the one and only psalm attributed to Moses. And you say, what's this psalm all about? There is a unity of thought in this psalm from beginning to end. And what Moses is doing, he's setting up a contrast between God on the one hand and man on the other. So who is God? Well, from Psalm 90, we learn God is heavenly and man is earthly. God is heavenly. He is from everlasting to everlasting the same. And man? Well, we see here in the psalm that man is like the grass that grows up. In the morning, that grass grows and it flourishes. And it grows up tall, but not very much longer. There in the evening, That same grass is cut down and it withereth. That's what this psalm says, that man is here for only a very brief time, for 70 years, 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. But nonetheless, those years are soon cut off and we fly away. And so God is eternal. He has been, He is, and He will always be. Man is mortal. He's born. He'll die. And therefore Moses teaches us, and he prays in this psalm in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Moses is saying, "Lord, help us to know that. Help us never to forget that, but to remember that. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to know the brevity of our human existence." And so what a fitting text for us this morning for this New Year's service, because this morning we stand at the dawn of a new year. We stand at the beginning of a whole stretch of days, 365 more days that we define as the year of our Lord, 2015. And if it's anything that we've learned from this past year, it's this, that time doesn't slow down. But if anything, the days are going to pass by more and more quickly, and that's going to be true in this upcoming year as well. And this morning we want to realize that, and we want to respond to that. And so we make the petition unto God, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And we take that for our theme for our New Year's service, the numbering of our days. In the first place, what this means. Secondly, the result, that we will apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then finally, the evidence. The evidence that you and I are numbering our days. So when Moses says through the Holy Spirit, "Teach us to number our days," that doesn't simply mean that we get a calculator out and we count how many days that we have been alive, or that we count how many days that we think we will live, and then we just leave it there and say, "Well, now I know I've counted the days of my earthly existence." That's not what it means to count our days, but to number, to count our days means to know how few they are and how fast they fly. It means to know in our hearts that our days are short. To number our days means to think about, to reckon with the briefness of our life. It means always to keep in mind that we are hardly here on this earth and soon we're gone. To number our days means to say with David in Psalm 39, verse 5, where David says, "Behold, Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth." An handbreadth. Well, that's a unit of measurement, a small unit of measurement. And that's what David is saying. "Lord, make me to know that my days are very short. My days are like a few inches." And with every unit of measurement, we know that there is a beginning and that there is an end. And to number our days then is to recognize and to acknowledge before God, "Lord, I know it. I confess it. I'm hardly here. And then I'm gone. And then Thou dost take me to glory." Yes, it's true that it might be the will of God that He keep us on this earth for some 70 years. And that's a long time. And that's what Moses says here in verse 12. 70 years, 70 years, that's a long time. And 70 years, how many days is that? Well, that's some 25,000 days. And if by reason of strength, our years be 80 years, be 80 years, then that's some 29,000 1,000 days. Can you children here, can you imagine that, living to be that old? 70 years old, 80 years old, thousands and thousands of days old? And yet realize that God doesn't guarantee, and He doesn't promise to you and to me that we're going to live that old. It might be the will of God that we only live 50 years old. It might be the will of God that the days of our earthly existence last only 35 years old. It might be the will of God that we only have 60 days left, or 20. We don't know. Our times are in the hand of God. And the point Moses would have us reckon with is that it won't be that long from now, because life speeds by. And for those of you who are young, all you need to do is ask your grandparents or your great-grandparents, those who have been alive for 70, 80, some 90 years, and they will tell you life is short. The years quickly fly by. Now the Word of God calls us to live with this awareness and understanding that for all the years that we should live, even if it pleases God to keep us on this earth for some 100 years, some 36,000 days, nevertheless, for all those years, for all those days, our life is short and soon it's gone. And that's what it means then to number our days, to reckon with that reality that our days are few. But now the problem with us earthly creatures is that we're not very good at doing that now, are we? We don't naturally think this way. Our tendency is to push it off and not to nurture this awareness in our hearts that our days are few. When you think about that, how do people of the world live? And how do they conduct themselves in the days that God has given unto them? Well, by and large, they think about and they live for the moment. Living for all of the thrills and for all of the pleasures that this new year will give unto them. And for most, what's the best part of this upcoming year? Well, what's the best part of every week? The best part of the week is the weekend, when I can put away my work and when I can have some time for myself, when I can pursue all of my own pleasures. And then it's during the weekend that there are all the movies and all of the games and all of the sports and all of the recreation and all of the concerts and all of the pleasures of this life. And for so many, that's where it begins and that's where it ends. And for so many, life is all about living for the moment and having as much fun as they possibly can for as long as they can. But notice something else about society and about ourselves, really. Living as if life will go on forever and doing everything in our power to see to it that our lives last as long as possible. And now I'm not referring to taking care of our bodies and going to the doctor and eating healthy. I'm not referring to that, but I'm speaking of the effort of so many people to stay as young as they can for as long as they can. Because after all, nobody in today's culture wants to grow up. Everybody wants to stay a teenager. Everybody wants to stay a young adult for the rest of their lives. And then that brings about that very sad phenomenon that we have in our day and age where 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and even it can go 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds are living and acting and playing and thinking as if they are still teenagers, as if they are still young adults, Because they don't want to grow up. And they don't want to grow old. Because when you grow up and you grow old, then that's only a sad reminder that our lives are very, very short. And I suppose in our day and age, because to be young, that's to be popular. To be young is to be attractive. And if we were to grow old, well, to grow old is to be unattractive. And to grow old is to be less relevant. And who wants that to be true of them? And you see, who's numbering his days? Who's measuring his life? Who's realizing that our days on this life are very, very short? And we do everything we can to put that off and to think that we can stay as young as possible, as long as possible. And then this too, how hesitant the world is. And this is true of us by nature, how hesitant for us to reckon with the reality of death. To think about that, and not just to think about that, but to talk about it with others. And we all know that just to bring death up in a conversation to somebody else, to our neighbor across the street, to our coworker, to bring death up in a conversation is a very effective means of really bringing an end to that conversation. Because people nowadays don't want to think about death. They don't want to talk about death. All they want to talk about is life and about living. And from a certain point of view, we understand that. Because we are alive here and now and we are called to live. But the scriptures teach us that there is something called death and that that's a reality and that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And since that is the reality according to the scriptures, doesn't it make sense that we deal with that reality and we think about it and we talk about it with others, death and with what follows. But nowadays, who wants to think about that? Who wants to talk about that? We'd rather just focus on living and caring for our lives and providing for our lives and enjoying our lives. You see, so that's our problem. And that's why Moses says, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us. And that implies that we're not very good at numbering our days. We're not very good at contemplating the brevity of our earthly existence. This is something that we need to be taught for the Lord to impress upon us again and again and to instruct us. And so Moses prays, Lord, teach us to number our days. And how does the Lord do that in our lives? Teaching us to number our days and to realize that they are very, very short. Well, the first and the primary way that the Lord does that is by His Word. Is by opening up His Word unto us so that we read Psalm 90. A psalm in which we are confronted with the eternality of God, that He is from everlasting to the same, but that us, earthly creatures, we have a beginning and we have an end. The Lord teaches us out of His words from the book of Psalms, Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. And so many other passages of the Bible which teach us that our days on this earth are numbered. And God teaches us too through all of the circumstances of our life that our days are numbered and that our days are short on this earth. God teaches us that when He brings upon us a sickness, whether it's even a very what we would call a minor sickness, a common cold, or whether we experience something very serious, a deadly disease in the body. And we've all had it, have we not, when we've either had a migraine or we've had some type of pain in our bodies, and the pain was so great, and we said, Lord, prepare me for glory because I think you're going to take me today. And we are positive that today is going to be our last day on this earth because the pain is so great. And yet it pleases the Lord to keep us alive for a bit longer. And yet in those times, though, we realize all of a sudden, do we not, that my body is not invincible, but my body is weak. And the older I grow, the more frail I become. But God uses those types of illnesses to teach us that our days are short. And God teaches us powerfully to reckon and to count our days when He takes a loved one from us, whether an elderly grandparent when we were all together expecting it, or whether a child when we were not at all expecting it. And God teaches us many things, but one of the things is this, that your life is short and that you will not live endlessly upon this earth. And so our prayer to God is this, teach me, O God, do it throughout my entire life, because that's what teaching is all about. It's a process and it's something that we learn day by day. Teach me throughout my whole life how weak I am, how frail I am, that I may always acknowledge and keep this in mind, the brevity of human existence. And then what's going to be the result? That in the second place this morning, what happens when the Lord teaches us to number our days? And the result is going to be this, according to the text, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, more literally, that our hearts may come unto wisdom, or even that we may obtain hearts of wisdom. Well, that makes sense to us, does it not? When God teaches us, it always bears fruit. It's never for naught. When God teaches us, the result is going to be that we gain knowledge. Or that we gain wisdom. And we will be wise people. Well, what is it then to be wise? What is wisdom? Wisdom, the simple definition is this. Wisdom is putting into practice the knowledge that God gives unto us. Putting knowledge into practice. So that, for instance, think of the kind of a man who takes all of the necessary kind of written tests to become a semi-truck driver. And he goes to the Secretary of State and he sits down and he takes all of the tests and he passes those tests. But now comes the time for him to get behind the wheel. And if he doesn't know how to drive and how to put into practice that which he knows in his head, then he's not a wise man. And he may have the knowledge, but wisdom isn't there, because wisdom is putting into practice the knowledge that God has given. But mind you, it's putting that knowledge into practice in a certain way, in a God-glorifying way, because all wisdom always aims at the glory of God, because God is first wise and He imparts that wisdom unto us. So that, for instance, there might be that man who takes his written tests to be a truck driver, and then he may be able to get behind the wheel and he may be able to put that knowledge into practice and know what to do in this or that type of a situation. But insofar as he remains wicked and does not put that knowledge into practice in a God-glorifying way, then all that he does is sin. And that knowledge and that earthly wisdom of his really serves him no good. You see, a heart of wisdom shows itself not simply by knowing facts, not simply by knowing how those facts will help me in this life, but a heart of wisdom always fears and honors and glorifies God. And that doesn't sound strange to us. That's something that we all very well know from Job, from Proverbs, from the book of Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing has to do with respecting and reverencing God, his name, and his glory. And when we fear God, we listen to God, and we seek to live in accordance to his word, and we submit ourselves to the will of God for our lives. And ultimately, when we fear God, then we also respect and honor and reverence his Son, Jesus Christ, because as the scriptures say to us in 1 Corinthians 1, our Savior Jesus Christ is of God made unto us wisdom. So that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And when we embrace Christ by faith, then we show that we are truly wise. Then we know that our days on this life will not last forever, but that there will be an end. But that even after the death of our bodies, there will be more in store for us to come, the life to come of heaven. But that's a heart of wisdom, fearing, honoring, glorifying God, and submitting ourselves to his will. And that's what God gives us when he teaches us to number our days. And isn't it true to say that so many today are without that wise heart, but rather foolish and dark? And they haven't been taught, at least not by God, living for the moment, living for the thrills that this new year will give unto them, without a thought about their days which quickly pass away. And then to all of those kinds of people in this world who outwardly might appear to be wise, who are very accomplished people, very smart, great abilities, and yet are they truly wise? Even as we sang earlier from Psalm 136, crowned with honor though he be, highly gifted, strong and free, if he be not truly wise, man is like the beast that dies. Well, how many people are like that, and how does it go for you and for me? And what about us for this coming year? Have we begun to number our days? And do we look forward to the Lord teaching us to number our days? And may the Lord evermore drive away the foolishness of our hearts and give unto us a wise and understanding heart. And finally, what's the evidence that we are learning to number our days, and that indeed we do have a heart of wisdom? What can we point to in our lives that can even serve as evidence and as comfort for us to know that we are children of God and that his Spirit works in our hearts? And there are a number of things. In the first place, won't we be ever so grateful for the days that the Lord has given unto us? And we will be grateful. We will be grateful because we have come to realize that we are sinners saved by grace. And that it's my duty, nay, not simply my duty, but it's my privilege to serve God all the days of my life, even all the days of this upcoming year, so that every morning that you may wake up and be alive, that you understand what a great gift that God has given me in this in this new day. And now I have another day to serve my Lord and my Savior. And that even if you live to be an old man or an old woman, that you still recognize that how few my days are in relation to eternity to come, but yet how grateful won't you be for the days that God has given unto you now on this earth. To be grateful means to appreciate each and every day as a gift from God and to use that day to exert myself to serving and glorifying my Lord and my Savior. And you know, there are people in this life, there are those kind of people who do nothing more really than complain. And they're never grateful. And they complain about their dark days, about their sad days, about their difficult days, and it goes on and on. And we understand that from a certain point of view, because our life is not easy. It is a weary world. That's true. But even when our days may be dark and our days may be sad, when the Lord teaches us to number our days, to start living out of that wise heart, then we will be grateful. Though our days may be hard, won't we be grateful knowing that my days are in the hand of God? And that though my days be dark, though I have many sorrows and many afflictions, won't we be grateful knowing that events in my life are not running out of control, but that everything is in control? Everything, my days, my hours, my minutes are in the hands of my Heavenly Father. And won't we be ever so grateful knowing that God cares for me? And we will. We will be a grateful people. And this too, the evidence that we are numbering our days, won't we be ever so careful with the days that God gives unto us? Careful not to sin our days away, but that we are careful to use our days and to devote them unto the Lord. The New Testament speaks in two different places, and you recognize that phrase of redeeming the time. Ephesians 5 verse 16, and this is what it means to belong to God, to belong to Jesus Christ. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then from Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means making the best use of the time that God gives unto us. Using our time, using our days to glorify God and to be godly. And so the question that is put unto us is, are you careful with your time? Are you careful with the days that God has given unto you, especially when you realize that you don't get much time down here below? And are you resolved to be careful with the days that the Lord will give you in this upcoming year? Are you careful not to spend your days in sinful pursuits? And are you going to be careful, too, in the proper balance and the proportion of the time that God gives unto you? Because some people in this world, their days are filled with is work. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. They want to provide for themselves the kind of standard of living that they've always dreamed of, trying to have a good flush of bank account. But then they don't have any time for family. Then they don't have any time for the things that God calls us to be engaged in. And how many people today spend inordinate amounts of time on entertainment and sports Now I mean long past the time of normal, ordinary relaxation and refreshment, but it becomes their whole life. And they are not careful with their days. And what about spending so many hours in front of the TV? So many hours playing video games, or we all know it, how easy it is just to waste time on the internet. And pretty soon those minutes turn into hours, and those hours turn into days, and those days turn into weeks. All wasted time, wasted days. Now all of those things, not wrong in and of themselves, of course not. But the proper balance, the proper proportion of those things in our lives, if that becomes wrong, well, then that does, then that's wrong. And we need to get our priorities straight in our life. Because if that does become the case, soon there's no time for family worship, no time for private worship, no time for public worship, no time for the communion of the saints. And we say we just don't have time. Well, we don't make time. We just don't have time because our life is so cluttered with all of these other things. And mind you, that's one of the ways in which the devil works. He may put all of these things in our lives, things that are not necessarily sinful, but things which can clutter our lives and our days and soon choke us from doing those things which are right and good and proper. And so when God teaches us to number our days, we're very, very careful with the way that we spend our days, seeing that we use them wisely and appropriately. And then one final note this morning, an evidence that we are numbering our days and applying our hearts unto wisdom is this, that in this coming year, we are going to seek all our salvation outside of ourselves. We're not going to look in me to be saved. Now, after all, how can we save ourselves? We are weak. We are finite. We are mortal. And even if we could work for our salvation, the days of our life are so short, we couldn't pay for them all. Not even most of them. And you know, you do, that even if we had a life of 200, 300, 400 years, whatever number you want, we wouldn't be able to pay for a single one of our sins. And isn't that, beloved, the whole point? Isn't that the whole point of Psalm 90? To direct our attention away from ourselves so that we look to Him, to He who is not weak but strong, to He who is not finite but infinite, to He who is not mortal but who is immortal? We look to God and we look to the salvation that He provides for us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one man in the whole history of this world who never had to pray, Lord, teach me to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Because He knew the days of His earthly sojourn, and He always used His days well, from the very beginning since He was born to the time that He ascended up into heaven. He was never foolish, but He was wise. Wise when He was a child, even when He was 12 years old, He was in the temple going about His Father's business. And wise during the days of His public ministry, preaching the gospel, performing miracles, gathering in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wise in all of His life, submitting Himself to the will of His heavenly Father. And even when that will meant for Him pain and suffering and the desertion of his own disciples, and even when the will of his Father meant that he must die the accursed death of the cross for your sins and for mine, and for our sins too, with regard to our days. This is sure evidence that you are numbering your days, numbering all your days in the coming year, 2015, that you seek your salvation only in Jesus Christ, finding your righteousness in Him, expecting heavenly glory from Him and Him alone. And with the passing of another year, we are reminded at how quickly time flies. And we're reminded, too, that how quickly the days will pass by in 2015, and that the end draws all the more closer. And we are reminded at just how brief our lives are upon this earth. But be encouraged. Be comforted. God is powerful. He is strong. He is wise. And He will teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May God grant that grace to you and to me in this coming year. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Apply Thy word unto our hearts, and evermore, by Thy Spirit in us, create within us that knowledge that our earthly sojourn is so short. Teach us to number our days, and then give unto us that heart of wisdom so that we put that knowledge into practice and that we glorify Thee today, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this year, and all our life. Our days are few. May we not waste them away. Give us grace to live godly before Thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name alone. Amen.